I'm rarely disappointed in Dave Harrigan, but I am right now, Matthew Caller. He knows we're talking Lynx. I mean, he knows the Lynx are the story and the Vikings are in a bye. I was expecting an updated Lynx intro to Caller. How do you defend yourself, Dave Harrigan?
Does he run a site called Lynx Insider?
He doesn't, but we are going to talk Lynx primarily today.
That's perfectly fine, but I'd like to give him a little love.
Yeah. You got it worked in, Purple Insider, with some highlights from last night. You know, a few of us are glowing after a memorable game. Apparently, you dismissed it. Is that what
I had a sandwich to eat before the show, Chad.
So, in other words, that's why we didn't get the open?
It was a good sandwich.
What kind of sandwich?
Roast beef.
Roast beef? Caller, if you could have any sandwich on the planet, what are you having and what is on it?
I'm a simple man, as you know. So I would just go with a pretty simple turkey sandwich and lettuce, tomato, mayo, and some bacon. I'm not complicated. Straightforward.
Sounds like a pretty good club to me.
Yeah, I mean, he recovered a little bit when he's putting some things on there. But now let's go to Thanksgiving. Where does turkey rank among your favorite food items for Thanksgiving itself?
You know, I like to mix and match. We'll actually do a little turkey and some ham thrown in there same plate. I don't see anything wrong with that. People seem to want to debate that all the time. I will take all of your meats. But the thing is, if you gave me a roast beef sandwich where the roast beef was not dry and it's really, juicy, then that can top a turkey for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ham's better. So I will chime in on the debate. Do you like your stuffing with a little spice, or do you like it just plain, safe, you know?
Probably a little bit safe, but, you know, I think that's also a situation where you can, if you got some sweet potatoes on the plate and they mix in, it doesn't look the best visually, but as far as taste goes, you get a little sweet potato, a little stuffing together. That's pretty good.
It's probably the meal, Harrigan, where we most want our foods to attack each other. Right?
100%.
We don't want the separation. We need the mash.
Yes, gravy over everything, and whatever ends up on the fork in that particular bite is just fine.
Yes, all excellent. All right, so I'm watching the end of the first half, and I'm seeing a nice comeback by the Lynx to just get within, what was it, 8? You know, so to show a bit of a pulse. And then they start out very strong in the third quarter. But then as we're moving to the middle of the fourth quarter, it's just like one of those situations where there was too much Liberty size. The Lynx couldn't continue the great ball movement all the time. And that you could also make the argument that the scheduling benefited the Liberty much more because they finished the series against Vegas earlier, playing home, Lynx travel, and it's, you know, it's 81-66, and okay, it's going to be one of these series like, you know, Dodgers-Padres tonight. Two of those games have been blowouts. We kind of forget in series where they can finish going, whether it's five-game series, seven-game series, where there are blowouts. But then I got to be honest. As someone who's lived here for a long time, that was a remarkable finish to that game in so many ways. It was astounding at times how defensively Collier was so good, how Williams was fearless, how the ball movement was great, how they bottled up New York, and how tense I thought New York played. Controversial calls, missed opportunities by a superstar like Stewart, overtime. If you like hoops, if you like sports, and you like drama, and you missed it, go to YouTube, find it, because it was great theater last night.
It was magical. I mean, honestly, it really was. I mean, I was in the building at US Bank Stadium for the Minneapolis Miracle, and I don't know that anything is ever going to top that. As far as games that I'll see here in Minnesota, but that was close because of the way that it happened. I mean, Nafisa Collier goes, what, 4 for 4 with 4 blocks, a couple of steals, a couple of assists. It was her playing at the best level that anyone has ever played at in the WNBA, and that includes all the legends that have played for the Lynx. I mean, that was up there. That was a Maya Moore type of performance, and I think it's now 1 and 1A between her and Asia Wilson for the best player in the world. She was so much better than Breanna Stewart,
yes,
and
was.
It's not a one game thing. They have beaten the Liberty 3 out of the 4 times that they've played, and now 4 out of 5 since the beginning of this season. And Nafisa Collier was 2nd in the MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. Doesn't even begin to describe what she did last night to Breanna Stewart. She takes those shoulders to the chest and doesn't move. She stays strong and tall. She doesn't foul. And she also fought off a wrestling move by Jonquel Jones.
I was just getting
in
there.
The biggest moment.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable. That's the definitive play, I think, right there, along with Courtney Williams' 3. But it had those definitive plays. The ball goes off Breanna Stewart's foot. They change the rules so they can't review that. I mean, my gosh. But if you're on the other side, too, you got to go, why in the world was Sabrina Ionescu taking 26 shots and 3 assists? I mean, that is one of the worst performances from a star that you'll ever see. She was just shooting up everything with no regard for whether it was a good decision or not. So the Lynx, it's an amazing game. But as they go forward, I think that New York is going to make some adjustments there.
Let me go back to, because you made a lot of good points, just the play where James, who's what, how much taller is James than Collier? 4 or 5 inches, something like that?
She's Jonquel is 6'6", and Collier is 6'1", but with a very long wingspan. But yeah, she's 5 inches taller than her, I think.
They're locked like they're playing, you know, like what happens inside in the NBA, WNBA, college, all the time. They're just locked up, but they're locked up for a while, right? And they're back-to-back locked up, and James gets the ball for Collier to release and then make the clean block is – so good instinctively, talks so often how she guards bigger players, and also a little bit of it, let's just be honest, is karma. A little bit is just good luck, because how many times you see men or women where you just kind of flail? She just plays under such control. She, you know, with Joker in the NBA, he's never sped up. Collier is never sped up, Matthew. She, offensively or defensively, she gets the game to play at the rhythm she wants it played.
Yeah, and when you look at her face, too, throughout the games, almost expressionless, maybe a little smile on a good play, maybe a little frown on a bad play. I mean, she is this consistent force for them. So when you're down 15 points, you're like, well, she's not panicking. She's not freaking out. We haven't even mentioned the game-winning shot.
Yeah.
That she's down in the paint, again, with at least a 4 or 5 inch differential there. And also, that shot came against somebody else who has won the Defensive Player of the Year in the past. And that fadeaway in the paint has become her signature shot.
Yep.
Unstoppable.
Right.
And, you know, we haven't given Cheryl Reeve credit yet, but that strategy of spreading the floor and putting Nafisa Collier into the paint and trying to get everybody else out of there to get those little fadeaways and those short shots that she could create on her own. And you could tell over the years how she's developed that move, because she tried the first move, and that wasn't there, and then had the counter to create the fade. I mean, this is just this is the best on earth, man. It does not get any better than that. And I think Nafisa Collier this year specifically, this playoff specifically, has elevated her game from, hey, I thought she was great before. I thought she was a franchise player before, and she was in the MVP running last year. But now to the point where this is a championship player. And when they drafted her out of UConn, everyone was like, oh, the next Maya Moore. And I was hesitant, like, come on, guys, we can't do that to her.
Just the Minnesota thing. Because if she was the next Maya Moore, she doesn't go 6, she goes 1.
Right. Oh, right, yeah. Well, it really speaks to her work ethic and also coaching and the situation that they have put her in. And also, too, over the years, Cheryl Reeve has yelled and screamed at her to be aggressive, be the superstar. And they caught her on the camera the other night when they eliminated Connecticut, screaming, Fee, I need you to score or something, or I need you to be aggressive. And I think it's just those two things coming together of the perfect coach, system, player, development, all those things. And, the Lynx now have kind of the power here because they're playing like a team as opposed to New York, which is playing kind of like all the super teams that fail, which is a bunch of individuals out there last night.
All right, one more point on this before we take the break. Stewart has been a great player for a long time, like Collier, UConn, and, yeah, if you watched last night, no doubt Collier was a better player. You miss free throws, but by the way, when the game's there and you can put your team up by one, that is a soul-crushing loss. And then at the end, when they're trying to state the comeback, and as great as Williams was, the one place you'd want back is that pass when they got the ball in their hands, up by four, and about 33, 34 seconds left, right? But they played aggressively. But that allowed the Liberty to have a chance. And when Collier goes for the steal, kind of her rare, that was a mistake. It didn't work. Overplay. And then Stewart goes down the lane, and the Lynx don't react quickly. And it's not completely uncontested, but it's borderline considering the circumstances. And to her put up a layup and not even draw iron as the superstar she is, add that to the free throw. That is not what you expect a flat-out star in the league to do when you have the chance to win or tie the game multiple times.
So that's an interesting point because a core memory of mine in childhood popped back into my head when Patrick Ewing had a similar chance. Yeah. I believe it was against Indiana or Chicago where he had a layup right at the rim, and it was kind of the moment that everybody knew Patrick Ewing was dusted when he couldn't put that one in. And, Stewart, as great as she still is, and she statistically had a very good season, I have felt this year that her shooting has really declined and her shot selection, where I have felt like I've seen so many outside of the paint shots from her, settling for threes, gunning up shots. I mean, 21 shots, she makes 8 of them last night, but that hasn't been that unusual for her this year and even during the playoffs. And I have actually been doing some WNBA writing for the website, Her Hoop Stats analytics site, and I took note of that in one of my articles that she, during the playoffs and really this year, has had a lot of those kind of 3-for-17, 8-for-20 type of performances that are not what she used to do in the past. If that's the case, then the Lynx have the best player and the deepest team and the team with the most chemistry, and that should be pretty scary for New York.
This is Matthew Collier. You can hear his tremendous WNBA knowledge, but we normally have him on talk Vikings. Vikings have a bye week, but I'm going to pick up on a lot of the emails to purpleinsider.football because everybody's just thinking about who else can we add to this 5-0 team? What does Collier think about that? You can sign up for Purple Insider mailbag, stories, podcasts, great info all throughout the year, in particular when the club is 5-0. Back with Collier in moments on CCO. I think slightly overrated. I know a lot of people like it. We're playing Hall & Oates, Collier, because Daryl Hall turns 78 today. Where do you stand on Hall & Oates, Matthew?
It's kind of corny for me. I don't know.
Whoa. Corny.
It's not my thing. Yeah.
Harrigan, thoughts?
I don't think he's terribly far off.
Oh, you're wrong. Some of the songs are. Like that one's corny. She's Gone, not corny. Henry Lake, we all know. Here's a tweet from Henry Lake. Oh, well, first time in my life that I've seen someone at the gym with fake spray-painted abs. I don't get it. It's so obvious. Okay. I like that Henry mentioned he was at the gym because he likes to mention he's at the gym. But who would do this? Is this commonplace? Is this happening? That your shirt is short enough that you notice the abs and that it's so obvious you can tell they're painted on? That's some narcissistic behavior, Collier. Do you do that? Do you enhance your fitness because you're a fit person? Do you paint on to tighten up the abs even more?
No, but I have butt implants.
So,
you know, to make sure that I, everybody knows that I got the glutes going on.
Yeah.
I like to do any of my exercise as far away from humanity as I can. So I like to find an empty basketball court to just shoot by myself. I like to jog in the evening, where there's no other joggers, just in back streets and stuff around my little town. I don't like
to
be enclosed with other people, you know, that kind of thing. So I don't worry too much about my look when I'm doing it.
Speaking of look, how is it possible that, and I wasn't watching because I was locked in on the 87 other games that were taking place last night. How is it possible if you're watching the Amazon game last night, you were watching 49ers and Seahawks, that you at home could see a replay that the referees could not see?
Oh, did that happen in the 49ers game? Because it happened in the Lynx game as well.
Well, explain, Aragon.
It was, a 49ers punt that bounced, and it nicked off the Seahawks player's finger. 49ers recovered it. Call on the field was, no, Seahawks player didn't touch it. It is Seattle's ball. Amazon goes to the replay. You can clearly see the finger moving as the ball goes by. And the explanation after the game, when they the referees on the field said, yep, call confirmed, Seahawks ball, the explanation was, well, we only have some raw feed. We don't have all the stuff that Amazon can provide the TV audience.
What?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Look, so I'm going to call for this probably forever until the NFL listens to me. They sometimes do. When it comes to the replay, the XFL put in something now called the UFL, where when they go to a replay, Dean Blandino is the replay official, and they show him on TV, and he talks you through what he's seeing, and then they send it back to the officials, and they make their call.
Yeah, that's good.
It is inexcusable for the NFL not to show us what the referees and the replay center are talking about and why they're making their decisions. And it doesn't make any sense to me. And of course, there should be no angle that you could see at home that the referees can't see. But what I also don't understand is why we're not allowed to know what the conversation is between the referees, the replay official, and also just the fact that the UFL has Dean Blandino make that call. Well, we couldn't really see it. You make the call. You've got a better look. Bang, it's done. They finish the reviews in about a minute or less. Back to the game. I just can't believe the NFL is still struggling with this.
You are 100% correct on that. The Friday mailbag is full of haughty Vikings fans who are thinking, we're already great, so let's think and look ahead to the trade deadline. They've given up a lot of picks. They don't. Is it a first and a fifth? What do they have left next year? Not a lot. So help me. I think I'm right in the first and fifth. Maybe there's a sixth, seventh, but I know they gave up plenty for Dallas Turner. What do they have left, and what's the likelihood they will make a move if they stay playing at a pretty high level like they are now?
Well, they've already given up everything. They have. Look, you're shortchanging them. I believe it is 2/5.
Okay.
So, yeah. and they are going to get some compensatory
picks
as well, I think. So, but you've already cleared the bank. Why not just go all in? I go back and forth, and I had a really good conversation with our friend Kevin Seifert about this on the podcast, and we went back and forth on it because my thing is, if you look at the core of this roster and the salary cap space that they have, they already have a lot of superstar players that are under contract for multiple years. Jefferson, Darisaw, Jonathan Grenard is leading them in pressures, Van Ginkle, Cashman, all these key core players are under contract. If you draft someone next year, that's great, but you might be drafting him late in the first round. You can't usually ask that player to come in and be good right away. You're probably filling out any weaknesses through free agency anyway. And the hack that Kwesi Adofo-Mensah used before with TJ Hockenson was getting a player that they could negotiate an extension with. So if you trade for the name that I threw out there was J.C. Horn, a great cornerback from the Carolina Panthers, if you make that trade and you extend the guy, well, it's sort of like using a draft pick. And since you've got the cap space, because you're not going to pay McCarthy a whole lot of money the next 4 years, you can make this work. And I think when you have windows to win, they're very short in the NFL. There's very few chances you get. And look, if you're thinking about, oh, next year, the year after that, I've watched a little of Jaden Daniels. I've watched a little of Caleb Williams. I would be very concerned
that
you might not be you might not have this good of a chance. Because I look around the NFC and go, tell me who's not flawed. I mean, except for maybe Detroit. Like, tell me who's not flawed. This could be a big chance to win. So I think if you've got a shot to do it, then you do it. And they should use one of those fifths on another running back, too. I'm very worried about the running back situation after Jones got banged up and they couldn't do much.
He is Mr. Purple Insider. It's well worth your time. Pay some money. Get great info on the Vikings all year round. Matthew Collar with us every Friday. Thank you, sir. Enjoy your weekend.
Yep, thanks for having me.
Am I Wrong? Next.